Alrighty, turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. I want to read one verse in Acts chapter 3, and then we're going to read the first 17 verses in Acts chapter 4. And I titled this, Practice Living in the Presence of Jesus. Practice Living in the Presence of Jesus. I'm going to tell you folks, this service is going to challenge you. And I pray that it does. And so, if you have been saved for a long time, I'm coming for you. Okay? You get me? You hear me? Those of you that have been saved 20, 25, 30 years, I'm coming for you today. It's not me, it's the Holy Ghost in me. Because the church needs to wake up. And so, I think the Lord has a message for the church. It's a message for all of us. But for those of us that's been in it for a long time, we're going to renounce this stinking complacency that's upon us. We're going to get rid of it today. And we're going to wake up and serve Christ like never before. We need the power of God more than we've ever needed it. If he started the church with Pentecost, I believe he wants to end it with Pentecost. Do you hear me? I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm talking about the power of God. The power of God on us to do something mighty. Amen. So verse 19 of chapter 3. He says, But Peter and John answered and said to them, Whether it is right... Oh, I'm in chapter 4, sorry. I thought, what? That doesn't exactly seem right. In chapter 3, verse 19, he says, Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing. Anybody feel like they need refreshed? Amen. Would you mind just looking around? Come on, raise your hand. Do you need a refreshing in the Holy Spirit? Amen. Turn over to chapter 4. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captains of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, not like in prayer, but they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Came to pass on the next day that the rulers and the elders and the scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, If we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other. Ooh, I'm getting happy already. Man, I love this verse. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that these were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled. Hallelujah. And when they realized that they had been with Jesus, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that great? Whew. The word of God shut the devil's mouth. Hallelujah. Amen. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. So they spread no further, so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. Father God, we come before you. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. God, we don't look to hear from a man. We look to hear from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, I pray that you would use a man. Take his tongue and speak the words of life to this congregation. Father, I bind the spirit that would try to hinder, and I release the spirit that would bring life. I release the spirit that would break off addictions from every one of us. I release the spirit that brings power, and Lord, so that people will get saved, Father. I pray to the mighty name of Christ, Lord, that we need you. We need you more than we've ever needed you. And I pray, God, that our eyes would be open to the great need of America, of Tennessee, of Bridge of Hope Church, God, that we would wake up today and that we would declare with our mouth that this complacency has to die and it has to leave in Jesus' name. Father, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That first verse, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Hallelujah. You know what that's called? That's called salvation. When you humble yourself to God and you finally realize that you are a sinner and you say, Lord, I do not want to stay this way. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come in and cleanse me of my sins. And I want you to be the Savior and the Lord of my life. That is salvation, my friend. And most of us in this room, if not all of us, have experienced that. What we need to understand is salvation is past, present, and future. See, God saved you from your past. Whether that's addiction or sins or whatever it is, God forgave you. He says he cast it as far as the east is from the west to remember no more. And you should rejoice for the rest of your life that you're not the person you used to be. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Well, what you need to understand is he's Savior of your present and he's Savior of your future. We sometimes call that sanctification to glorification. See, God doesn't just save you so that you miss hell. God saves you so that you would be his ambassador. And we talked quite a bit about that. Last week, we talked about how these two men, Peter and John, was just walking to church just for the prayer service, and they happened to see a man that needed Christ. And they stopped. And they are no different than you. And we said last week, we need to start stopping and ministering to those people that are around us and dying and going to hell every day that we are coming in contact with. And so God is still, I don't know if you feel this, but God is still working stuff out of your mind, out of your heart. Junk, right? Just junk. Bad thinking, bad theology. It might be that grandma taught you that, but that might be ungodly. Maybe grandma taught you how to hate. And maybe you need to get rid of that. So let the Spirit of God come in, not just save your soul, but redeem you. Through the transformation of your mind, right? As you study the Word, the reason we study the Word is because we need to change. God says, I'm the God that changes not. Well, God doesn't need to change. He's perfect, but you aren't. So we need to change, folks. We need some sanctification. This used to be preached all the time in the house of God. We called it holiness. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. But the church today looks a whole lot like the world. Too much. We're too closely associated. And God is calling us in this last day, come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord. I want to put my spirit in you and I want you to do something with him. Hallelujah. So he saves us. Thank Jesus. so that He can use us. God releases the power of the resurrection in our life. Do you realize that? The power that rose Jesus from the dead, this is scripture, I'm not making this up, now resides in you. And the devil makes you think that you're powerless. You're not powerless. That resurrection power of God dwells in you. You know, you can call things that are not as though they are. That's what Scripture says. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. I would never say that, but He does. They asked them, they said, by just what authority are you doing that? What authority are you healing people? That doesn't make sense to us. John chapter 14 says, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. And the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Mark 16, 17 says, these signs will follow those who believe. Are you a believer? Come on, raise your hand so your soul sees it. So your neighbor sees it. You're a believer. Are these signs following you? In my name, they'll cast out demons. When's the last time you cast a demon out? You can pray for my wife when this service is over. Oh, you all. She got me in the first service. Says they'll speak with new tongues. That didn't go away, did it? They'll take up serpents and they'll drink. And if they drink any deadly thing, not, and if they drink any deadly thing, if you drink deadly things on your own, you're stupid. You're not full of faith. You're just stupid. You're just risking. You're stupid. I'm sorry. I just don't know how else to say that. That is not God telling you to pick up serpents and drink deadly things. He's saying, if you do, there's protection. Hallelujah. Now, I'm thankful for that, right? If by some means you get bit by a spider, you have the power of the resurrection within you to declare yourself healed and whole. Amen? Okay. And they will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Say, what is that all about? He has given us power of attorney. Now, if you don't know what that is, you've never dealt with probably any older person, maybe going into a nursing home, losing their mental capabilities. But as you age, or if you something is wrong with you, and you need someone that you absolutely trust, you hear me? You do never give power of attorney to anyone that you don't absolutely trust that will do things to benefit you. So when you give someone power of attorney, they have the right to sign your name on important documents. They have the right to use your bank account like it's theirs. You understand this? It's legality. It's very legal. And Christ says, I am giving you the power of attorney to use my name because I'm not here anymore. I am sitting at the right hand of the Father praying for you, and I need a representative on earth. And I'm not going to leave you powerless. I'm not going to put you there and then not give you the authority to do things. Here, take the ring. You sign my name when you need to sign my name. You write a check when you need to write a check. You speak that name in authority. You use that authority that He has given you so that when you lay your hands on the sick, you are not a healer, my friend. But He is. You can't deliver somebody from a demonic spirit. And Americans, about half of them, don't even think that's real. Well, go to Africa with me. You will see some demons. They'll manifest in a heartbeat, right? Whew, I'm telling you, it gets real over there. It's like this little Pentecostal boy thought, what in the world am I doing? I'm telling you, it was
Woo!
Yeah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I was quoting all those verses I remembered. But we have that power. We have that authority. But we aren't using it. We are not acting like sons of God. I hate to have to break that to you. Folks, we have moved into a religious state. We are content with having church. And Jesus said, this thing is closing down. You hear me? If it goes on another 20 or 30 years, it's still close. I don't think it's going to. But if it does, that just sounds so far-fetched to even say that, doesn't it? I mean, I believe the Lord's coming. And I believe that He wants everyone to be saved. That's His desire. God wants everyone to be saved, come into the kingdom. And He doesn't want you to miss heaven because of religion. These people that confronted Peter and John were religious. They had no relationship with the Father, but they were religious. You see, I find that people that started off with a relationship with Christ get complacent. They get lazy. And what happens is we slowly move into this area where we used to know the power of God, but today we're just a shell throwing up our hands. Hallelujah! We think the Holy Ghost is all about a shout and some emotionalism. Did you see what happened there in that scripture? It said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. It gave Peter great boldness to look into the face of people that could have had him killed. Said, what's given you the authority? What name are you preaching in? What name are you doing this in? Peter, the guy who could get nothing right before the day of Pentecost. Always opening his mouth and inserting foot. But he is the one, when the Spirit of God came upon him, he preached the first sermon, and 3,000 people get saved. Now he's standing in front of the same people that crucified Christ. So, but what are you doing this? He said, I come to you in the name of Christ, the one that you crucified. He is the one that we are preaching salvation to. He is the one that healed this man. He is the one that loves us. He's the one that restored him. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's looking for people that will just use his name. Use that power and authority of Christ. So you might just need to shake yourself just a little bit. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to repent. God, I'm sorry I've moved from relationship into religion, and I know it sickens you. How would you like it if your kids did that? Well, Dad, I know we used to be close. I used to call you Daddy. We used to just love to be hanging out together. But today, I'm a little too old to call you Daddy. We've moved from this relation of intimacy into this relationship that's just like a hierarchy. Are you following me? He goes on. He tells them by what name. He said, we preached the stone which you rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And he says, nor is there salvation in any other. Folks, there's not many ways. There's one way. You hear me? I don't care what anybody else tells you. They're wrong. They're wrong. It's not Buddha. It's not Hinduism looking for many gods. It's Christianity. It's Christ first. There is one way to be saved, and that's through the man, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ is his name. There's one way to be saved. That's through Him. And that hasn't changed from the day of Pentecost until now. The more intellectual we get as a society, the stupider we get. I mean, how dumb can you be to come up with the nonsense that we're coming up with today? I love this next statement. They determined that these were uneducated, untrained men. Hallelujah. And so be I. Well, they haven't been to school. They haven't been trained by religious men. Who are these gentlemen? It's obvious to see they can barely use our language. But these men have been with Jesus. You want your life to stand for something? Make it sure that you've been with Christ. See, what we're talking about today is living in His presence. If you're going off of last week's glory, if you're going off glory that you received 20 years ago, you are dry. And you need a refreshing in the Holy Ghost. And I'm talking to some of you that's been serving Jesus for a long time and you don't even realize it. You don't realize there's a dryness in your spirit. When's the last time you cried out for someone to get saved? I mean, broke your heart and you hit your knees. You see, I find that to be one of the first things that leave us is the desire for other people to be saved. If all you ever do when you pray is give the Lord your laundry list, well, this is what I need, Jesus, today. Good talking to you. Something wrong with your relationship. You cannot have a relationship that you never talk to somebody. It will die. You hear me? My wife wants me to talk to her every day. All day. No, that is not my opinion. That is truth. She likes to talk. You know, I moved to Evansville, Indiana one time, and she didn't move with me. We wasn't separated, but we was separated. We wasn't living in the same house, but maritally, she was just waiting for the kids to get out of school. Then she was going to join me. But the thing I missed the most, I lived in a little apartment. I didn't have TV. I didn't have a phone. That was before cell phones. I didn't have a phone. I didn't have anything to contact her. I had to call her from work to use a work phone. I was working 70 hours a week. And the thing I missed the most is hearing her talk about nothing. I know that sounds... That sounds different, doesn't it? It sounds weird. But I missed her rattling, and she rattles. I mean, she gets up talking. She goes to bed talking. I'm not running her down. I'm just telling you, my wife can talk. And when she was gone, I missed it. And I promise you this, you talk to any widow or widower in this church, and they will tell you one of the things that they miss the most is having a conversation with a person they loved. And I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, God misses your jaw. God misses you just talking to Him. He likes to hear from you. It doesn't even have to be spiritual. He just likes for you to talk to Him. He likes to know that you remember His name. Just the same way that I love to hear her just jabber, He loves to hear you jabber. Are you getting that? That wasn't in the first service. I'm talking to you. The Lord has a word for you. Some of you have not been in His presence. You have not been talking to Him. And He's saying, come before me. I just want to be with you. Let's talk about nonsense if we want to talk about, you know, God will talk about fishing if you want to talk about fishing. That doesn't make any sense at all to some of you, does it? You think that God is so spiritual, he can't relate to you. God knows how cows have cows. Right? How can a cow eat green grass and have white milk? He can't explain that. Well, he might be can. But God knows. God knows your business better than you know it. And he will talk to you about it if you'll talk to him. So how do we live in the presence of Jesus? Number one thing, we got to get back to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what the percentage is, but it's a high percent of the body of Christ that have determined that the baptism of the Holy Spirit ended with the apostles. That's just nonsense. It's not scriptural. Read your Bible. Acts 2:38. And this is for your children and your children's children and for those who are afar off. That's me. If he started the church with the power of the Holy Ghost, it makes perfectly good sense to me that that's the way he'll end it. You see, we don't need less. We need more. Let me say a statement that I think you'll agree. How many of you think that teenagers are having a harder day today than what they did in your age? Jesse, how old are you? 27? You think teenagers have it harder than you today? A 27-year-old says that he, and I agree with him, I think in 10 years, hell has broken out over our kids. We don't need less, we need more. But God doesn't give you the power of the Holy Spirit just to hear you talk in tongues. We have made it into something it is not. We think it's all about the, do I believe in tongues? Absolutely, and I pray in tongues every day. But I will pour out my Spirit upon you so that you will be my witness. You need the power. If you want to live in his presence, the Holy Spirit is in you. It's salvation. You need to be baptized then in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the unleashing of the power of God. And I know I'm talking French to some of you. Well, just join in, folks, and listen with your spiritual ears, because God wants you. God wants every person. This is nonsense that some of the churches said, well, that's for some people and for other people it's not. Well, I don't want to be on the, this is not for me. If God is just and if God is fair, then he won't give some of us gifts that he says no to the others. That is not, if you realize how precious the Holy Spirit is, what a wonderful gift the Holy Spirit is. You got an addiction, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. You hear me? See, greater is he that's in me. Who's in me? The Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Ghost, the third party of the Godhead is inside of me. And the Bible says greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The Holy Spirit is greater than any addiction. You may think, I can't break this depression. Yes, you can. Because in your weakness, he's made strong. You need to change your confession and quit saying, I can, and start saying, maybe I can, but he can. And let me just step up here on one of my pet peeves. Would you quit talking about your anxiety? It is not yours. It's the devil's. Give it back to him. God doesn't give you anxiety. But the devil will. I'm not preaching condemnation. I've been there. I'm preaching freedom in Christ. And as long as you think God gave this to me, then you're going to settle for it. But when you realize that wasn't a gift of God, the devil wrapped that up and made it look pretty for me. But it's still evil. You see, the gift that he has is peace that passes understanding. You can, I don't know why I'm preaching this. You can have peace in the worst day of your life. You can have peace. That's not normal and that's not human. That's supernatural. But you are supernatural. You remember the song in the 80s? I'm just a woman. I didn't sing it much. It denied the power of God. You're more than a woman. You're more than a human. The power of Jesus, the power of the resurrection is within you. You have the power in your tongue to create. I pray that you begin to get hungry for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to go back to our spiritual disciplines, which is prayer and fasting. Prayer, I believe, is the most important thing that God has given the church. The fact that we can talk to Him. Prayer is communication. It's two-sided. It means you speak and you listen. And we need to listen to God. The most common of the Greek words that they use for prayer is proshush, and it means up close and personal. When you pray, you are coming into the presence of God. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourself. It's not every once in a while. You know, I pray on Fridays. Well, bless God. You're starving the rest of the week, aren't you? Pray without ceasing is what the Word of God says. We talked about this on Wednesday night, and one of our sisters in the church says, you know how she didn't really say it this way. She said, my prayer time, I'm quiet. And I thought, boy, that's intelligent. In other words, what she was saying, in her prayer time, she does more listening than talking. One of the principles that I'm talking to you about today, prayer and fasting, study and meditation, solitude. Solitude is something Americans hate. We don't like to be quiet. We don't even like to be alone. I pray God delivers you from that. You need to find satisfaction of being by yourself because you're not alone. You hear me? He's right there with you. Christ is with you. And sometimes we need to turn the stinking radio off. I don't care if you're listening to AFR. Turn it off and listen to Him. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Devote yourself. Come into His presence with singing. Right? Enter into His gates and into His courts. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is saying, I welcome you into my presence. How do you get there? Through prayer. That's how you come into the presence of the King, is through prayer. Fasting is not manipulating God to do something. Fasting is all about you. It's really not about God. It's about you giving something up that you really desire so that your spirit would be more in line with His spirit so you could hear His voice. If you ever understand that God's whole desire is to bless you, God longs to bless His kids. You don't have to twist His arm by starving yourself. That is not what fasting is all about. Fasting is saying, Lord, this old flesh you gave me is calling all the shots. It's leading me. You know what I'm talking about, right? When I'm hungry, I want a double cheeseburger, preferably with bacon. Don't leave the bacon off. When I'm sexually stimulated, I want to have sex. That might be a little too brazen for you. I don't care. It is a natural appetite of your flesh. You hear me? There's nothing wrong with that. When you're married, and that's wonderful. But can we pervert it? Absolutely we can. Yeah, we need to hear that in the house of God. It's one of the appetites that God has given us. But can it control us? Yes, it can. Can we get it wrong? Absolutely we can get it wrong. We need the Lord. So when you fast, what you're saying is you're saying no to your fleshly appetites. And you're saying, God, I care more about your voice than this voice. I listen. You do too. Don't look at me so unholy. You listen to your voice. You listen to your body all the time. If I was preaching to the church that's not here, there's at least 100 of us not here today. Where are they? Where were they for Saturday night prayer? Something better came along. Now I'm preaching. Don't you tell me you're not led by the flesh. You are. And God wants to change it. Therefore, that's why we fast. And say, God, I'm caring way too. You can look at me and tell I like double cheeseburgers. You get what I'm saying? You can look at me and say, that guy's got a bit of a problem with his appetite. And I do. And I pray all the time, God, help me to help me to like lettuce and carrots, God. Okay, I gotta go on. Since I'm convicting myself, I gotta go on. Study and meditation. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. I love this last part of this verse. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Study is different than reading. When you study, you are trying to learn. And in your studying of the scripture is when he renews your mind. It's when you see something that you used to believe and all of a sudden the Word of God has challenged that old belief of yours. I met a lady who one time she said, I said, well, why do you think, very dear friend, I said, what do you think happens to you when you die? And she said, well, I sort of believe it's like when you're born, you just sort of go back to this position. And you're just there for the rest of the time. I love this lady. We were good friends until that day. No. I said, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. Where did you come up with that? I just thought it in my mind. Buddy, I don't want to risk eternity over something I just thought in my mind. Are you following my train of thought? The Word of God is truth. So when I read the Word of God and it says something, but the way I was brought up says, no, it's different, then I'm going to take the Word of God. If the Word of God says there's no other name by which man may be saved than the name of Jesus, I believe it. Meditation is chewing the cud. Like a cow does. It's taking a bite of the Word of God and just chewing on it all day long. Why? Because God is fixing to change something in you. God is challenging a thought. And when you chew on the Word of God, He's renewing your mind. He's saying, you need to get rid of this stinking thinking like that anxiety is yours. You need to say, I've said that for 20 years and I've messed it up. That is not my anxiety. I thank God I have freedom in Christ. And I can have the mind of Christ. Amen. That's for somebody. We go on in praise and worship. Praise and worship is more than for a church service. It's for every day of your life. Every day of your life, you need to develop worshiping God. And I'm just going to say this. The more hard times that you go through, the more precious your praise will be. Because you have something to thank Him for. You have some, Dalton, you'll never, your praise will never be the same. Why? Because God rescued him from the pit. And he recognizes, without him, I would be in jail today. But thanks be to God who delivered me. I'm telling you, for the rest of his life, he'll be thankful and praise God for that. Solitude, developing a time when you set aside a time with the Lord. Be still and know that I am God is what the Word of God says. Be still. That's two anointed words from God. Be still. Americans cannot be still. And God says, would you quiet yourself down? I have a word from heaven, but I will not compete with the world's voice. Now quiet yourself and get ready to hear the word of the Lord. Be still and know. To do that, you need to set a time, have a place, and have a journal with you. Because God will talk to you if you will ask Him to and expect Him to. God speaks, not in audible voices, but in your quiet, still spirit, God will speak to you. And if you think you hear God and it conflicts the Word of God, that was not God. Rick Renner, well, the last one is confession. There's two words about confession. Most of you know confession is you admit that you're a sinner or that you come to the church. And you know that Bible verse that we always read in James 5:16, confess your sin, you know, call for the elders, pray, let the prayer of faith be offered, confess your sins. He not only forgives you your sins, but He'll heal your body. That is coming up and saying, you know what, I blew it this week. And I'm asking Jesus to forgive me. And I need healing. I need Him to restore my mind. That's one kind of confession. The other kind of confession is the word homologio. Logos in the Greek means word. Homo means the same. This is put to one word in Greek. And we get the word confession from that one word, homologio. And what it means is you're confessing the word that He speaks over you. So when you read His word, you are entirely within your right to speak that over your own life. God, I thank you that you have delivered me according to Ephesians 1:18, that my eyes will be opened and you brought me out of darkness into light. And I thank you, Lord, I confess that over my body. Are you getting that? You see, the church has forgot the power of declaration. I know I'm preaching too long. I'm sorry. Not really. But apologize. This part of me apologizes. Are you getting this? If you would just quit saying what the devil is saying and start saying what Jesus says over you, your life will change according to the confession of your mouth. That was a whole lot more powerful than what you received it as. Inside of me, I'm saying, yeah, that's good. But we're looking for an emotional experience. We're looking for... And God's looking for the power of God to dwell in you. Not the shaking. You hear me? I'm talking to you, Pentecost. It's a whole lot more about getting up in the power of God and being able to talk, be able to be a witness. Stand with me if you would. Times of refreshing. Rick Renner, who is a Greek expert, he wrote this statement on homologio. He said, "This is not a picture of a person who simply repeats what someone else is saying, but it's the word is in his heart and he's come into agreement on an alignment with what God says. He sees, hears, and feels it like God meant it. So his heart and God's heart are unified as he quotes God's word with conviction." Look for the times when you're reading the word of God and it's like a light bulb went off in your heart. It's like all of a sudden. So when I was studying this and I saw, they perceived that they were untrained, unlearned men, but they had been with Jesus. I have chewed on that for all week. Because I believe that the Lord is speaking that to our church. The Lord is less concerned with you getting some kind of degree that man will put his stamp on, that will probably take you away from him. He's more concerned with you getting in his presence so that people will see you have been with God. I'm telling you, you can see it on people. I'm not perfect at it, but I can see people that know their God. I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not even smart. I'm surprised. Thank God Arthur wasn't here. He'd eat that up. Amen, brother. That's right. But I know my Savior. And I know what it's like to be in his presence. And I know it's life changing. And I also know this. It's been a long time for some of you. Now, I'm not preaching condemnation. I hope that you're not hearing that. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm saying the Master is calling today for you to get in the presence of God. He's got something for you. He wants to restore you. Times of refreshing in the Holy Ghost. Quit walking on yesteryear's glory. You need a fresh anointing today. There's not enough room in this altar. If there was, I'd call every one of you up here. But if you want to just solidify this, this would be like a confession. Just to step out of your seat and walk up here and stand. And say, "Jesus, I need to be in your presence today. I need a fresh anointing of the glory of God." Would you just step out of your chair? As Treva sings this song, just line up here. We're going to close in prayer.